Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. I am your host, Mark the Landing Crew Wheeler. And it's hump day. One day closer to the weekend. And we'll get right to it. We're going to recap what happened last weekend. The weather. And then look forward to this weekend. Get some regional reports. And then get into a topic. Same thing as usual. I'd like to thank the people that are in the chat room, LGB, the guests. Remember, guests, if you call in during the live show, the number is 714-816-4727. Or you can join us in the chat room by logging in using your social media account. So please feel free to do that. All righty. Mr. LGB and Mr. Lozier in the chat room. Excuse me. Welcome. And Steve Chapman now just showed up. What's going on, Steve? So let's break down this past weekend. I heard of some good bites before that major storm rolled through on Sunday. Good Spanish mackerel off of Georgia and South Carolina. Some really good bites there. From what I heard, puppy drum will start to pick up again. There's the drum. Flounder have picked up down south. This is from South Carolina, Georgia area. Speckled trout here and there. Pretty much hitting that almost summer bite, in a sense. But things are picking up down there, as well as us in the Mid-Atlantic region, i.e. Virginia, North Carolina, or my mid-region, I guess you could say. Some really good reports coming out of North Carolina on the big drum off of Ocracoke and the beaches there. They could get out to the beach without having to worry about beach closures. They were getting into them really well. Bluefish are everywhere, just as, to be sought after. Along with the spot and croaker bites have really picked up throughout the area. If you can get out there, you can find a school of them. You can fill a cooler in no time, if that is what you feel you need to do. The flounder bite was excellent before this massive low pressure system moved through. Haven't heard anything new yet since then, but hopefully we'll get some people chatting in the chat room with recent reports. Stripers are still around. Remember, folks, the striper season opens up in a few weeks here in Virginia. And on the 1st for Maryland, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Remember, folks, always make sure you check your state's regulations before you go out to make sure you are up to date. This way you don't get in trouble. Puppy drum have showed up on the Eastern Shore along with the big drum as well for us in Virginia and Maryland. If you go down to Fisherman's Island and you fish hard enough, you will find a big drum. The shoals are holding them and the flats are holding them if you can see them. But get out there and get on them. For those of us that are listening up in Delaware and New Jersey, guess what? The stripers are in. I've heard some really good striper reports going actually all the way up to Rhode Island. Some really nice fish being caught. Some 30 and 40 pounders already, which is excellent to see. In April, usually you don't see that until mid-May up in Long Island, Rhode Island, northern New Jersey area. So that's a great sign. It looks like it's going to be another stellar striper season up in the Northeast. And, of course, the spot and croaker are always plentiful in the areas. Remember, folks, the tautog season is closed in Virginia. So you cannot keep a tautog. You can fish for them, but you cannot keep them. All right. And with the warmer waters moving in, that means that some of our favorites, the spades, the sheep's head, the Traegers, all those species of tackle bust and fun are on their way So get your gear ready for that. Now, let's look forward to this weekend coming up. Looks like I'm going off of the Virginia reports. Saturday's going to be our best day for getting out in the water. Scattered showers with a high temp around 70 degrees in some areas. So I'm going to say 65 to 70, maybe warmer in some others. Good tides, no major moon shifts, and should be a good time for everyone to get out and catch some fish. Sunday's going to be a little cooler because that front's going to push through Saturday night. But, still scattered showers and a little bit cooler, but the fish will still be there. Got to work a little bit harder for them. All right. With that, we're going to get into a, let's see here, shameless plug with the Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Awesome eat!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him!
You got it!
I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
All right. Remember, folks, support the Bonefish Tarpon Trust. They're not just bonefish and tarpon. They're permit. They're snook. There are many, many other species that they help with. And, of course, local areas. We're going to talk about tonight, leaving an area better than where you found it. And this kind of hits home for me because I took my family out, my kids, to fish a little piece of water by here in Virginia Beach. And my daughter spent less time fishing and more time picking up the trash and handing it to me and saying, ewy. And she's 2 years old, almost three. And it kind of was embarrassing to me, that she's picking up, Coke bottles and beer bottles and, stuff like that. It was driving me insane because I couldn't tell her not to touch it. But, she knows that you don't leave trash laying around. So let's talk about, areas that do cleanup projects, different agencies that help, and some things that you need to think about when you go to start something like that. Reason I'm saying this is that Kayak Fishing Radio is in the works for doing a cleanup project here in Virginia Beach. It's going to be myself and the Double L crew are going to help to get things rolling on that. So this way we could have a cleanup program in a cleanup day in Rudy Inlet or just somewhere in the bay. I've seen this year more trash than usual, and that's disturbing to me. But to start with, what you need to start thinking about first, and that's other agencies to help you, because you have to remember, if you're going to go out there and you're going to go pick up trash, you need to throw the trash somewhere. And if you do it right, you're talking many bags of trash that you don't want to be sticking in someone else's dumpster. And a lot of agencies and a lot of city and local governments would rather know how much is taken out for their notes and their books and whatever else they want to do with it. And just to make sure you're not just going out there saying you're doing it and not doing it. So the first thing you'd want to do is get a base, a group of agencies. Here in Virginia, we have the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, the Clean Water Group, and several others that are out there that do cleanups along the shorelines and in the water and stuff like that. And a big one is the Elizabeth River. The Elizabeth River Naturalist Program, I think, is one of them. They do a lot of stuff like that where they'll ride around in boats and pick up trash along the shoreline and stuff like that. Pick up tires from the from the bottom and shopping carts and whatever. Yeah, get yourself associated with one of them. I'm currently in talks with the Chesapeake Bay Foundation and about trying to get something set up so this way we could do a big cleanup either this summer or this fall after the season ends. So this way we can go into a new year, hopefully, with the cleaner water to enjoy. But, so that's the first thing. You get set up with like that. Next thing you want to do is you want to contact the local government, city government, county, city council, the ones that control, you know, public waste, stuff like that. So this way they know, and that way they can deal with any liability issues. And that's a great thing about having a large group like the Chesapeake Bay Foundation to help us, is that they would help with, because they have the money to deal with any liability issues, i.e., for all the participants to sign a waiver, things like that, they would be able to handle that. Sorry, reading the chat room, folks. Talking about the double L's at the they did a seminar last night at ARC, fish for trout in the Western Rivers. Someone was in the pool. All right. So, yeah, you know, get with those bigger things and let the governments know. A lot of times they'll donate the dumpster. The local government will, to help you remove the refuse that you do pick up. And also, you know, supply you road guard vests, the pikes, things like that. So this way you don't have to worry about your people picking up stuff, getting cut. So that's what I'm getting to. The next thing is getting people to join you. You're going to want to do this, you know, a few months ahead of time so you have people enough advance notice to know what is going on. So what you do is you've got the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, they send out their feelers. Local government is going to send out their feelers because they're going to have the ability to hit the social media, the main media, you know, TV, radio, stuff like that to help you out. And then you've got your local clubs, you know, and stuff like that. And you all got to get, you know, feelers in there and get people to come out. You know, tell them, you know, they could do a cookout afterwards. You know, things like that. Free food always brings people. So everyone comes out. Got to make sure everyone has gloves. You know, wearing the right, you know, footwear if you're walking through, you know, dense woods or marsh or whatever. You know, and basically people are safe. You know, break down a safety brief beforehand. You know, have fun with it. But remember, you know, you are picking up trash. You are picking up things that could potentially really hurt someone. And that's the whole idea is, you know, get out of there before it really could do some damage or more damage than it already did. Contribute. So if you do all those things and you have fun with it, and, you know, at the end of the day, you can look back on, you know, the area that you worked on and don't see any trash, and you see someplace that is actually enjoyable now and that you're not embarrassed about, you know, taking your friends and family to, is definitely a plus. So, someone dropped a boat off the truck. Oh, my God. So, on that downside note of things going on, let's talk about my favorite fish, flounder. Yes, folks, I am a flounder freak. Growing up, it was a fluke. Down here, it's a flounder. All the same species, all flat fish. I am a flat fish freak about them. I absolutely love catching halibut and winter flounder, summer flounder, sole, tarbots, things like that, just because it's such a challenge to hook them up. And we're going to break down a few techniques that I use to really increase my success. I guess we really did not watch my video. I did not see a video about you. Sorry about that, Chris. but let's just go over the tackle you're going to want. You don't need anything special in the rod and reel category. I see guys buying strict flounder rods, and that's really not necessary. What you're looking for is a medium-heavy rod, because you have the opportunity of catching larger fish, so you're going to need that little backbone, okay? And you also need a tip on there that is really sensitive. And that's one of my major things, you know, a heavy backbone with a real sensitive tip that I can feel that flounder looking at it. What I use for line, so you got that, you've got to, you know, I can't stress this enough, a good bait casting reel, or just a bait caster to begin with. Low pro, round, conventional, it doesn't really matter, whatever's comfortable for you. Some of the old greats are the pen splitters, Daiwa Swash, like a Swash 20, works great. If you're looking to spend a little bit more money, you know, the Avitz and the MXJs, the small ones, Akuma Cedros round is a great reel. In the low profile, anything really works. Corrados are great. The Komodo from Akuma is great. The Quantum Smoke PT is an excellent reel for this. Things like that where you're just looking, it's basically just to hold the line and have enough drag in it to get them off the bottom. Oh, and any of the Daiwa reels, there you go, Mr. Lozier. So you're going to spool that reel up with 30-pound braid of your choice. The reason I say 30-pound, that's my personal preference. I have yet to have my braid break on any inshore saltwater species at 30-pound. Now, I'm not talking my cobia because I don't use anything small from cobia. Stripers to bluefish and reds, you know, puppy drum, flounder. 30-pound is perfect. It's thin enough that it cuts through the water if you drop in deeper, but it's also still strong enough to deal with some of the larger species out there in case you do hit in a black drum like I did last year flounder fishing. So 30-pound braid, personally for me, it's a vicious braid. I love the stuff. It's on all my reels. Vicious 30-pound. And then straight to it is a Carolina rig, basically, or cheetah rig, or what other people call it. It's a round egg sinker, depending on how deep you're going. If I'm fishing less than 20 feet, I'm using an ounce. The reason for that is I want that bait to move, and it just gives me a straight line from the reel, the rod, to the swivel, to the hook. I don't have any other connections in between next to that swivel. So it's a straight feel of what that bait and that fish is doing. But you drop it down, okay, you've got your egg sinker slid on the line. Add a couple of beads on there. Some people say 3 beads is what you need, 2, 1, a glass bead, a plastic bead, metal bead. Just put a bead on there before you tie your swivel onto your main line, please. This way your egg sinker isn't knocking on that knot, okay? And then 20-pound fluorocarbon leader. All you need is 18 inches. This is some simple stuff. and it's how I've been doing it since I was, you know, knee high with my grandfather. And it's always worked. Nothing really insane. Just 20-pound fluorocarbon. If I'm going for larger fish or I'm going for deeper fish, I know there's some blues and some heavier species out there, I might bump it up to 40. But 20 is where I usually go. And then adorn your hook or your leader with any trailer you want. Some people swear by bucktail trailer. Other people will say, you know, you got to use the pink squid with the spinner on it. Feel free. Personally for me, I go straight to a 3-aught kale hook. And what is a kale hook? A kale hook is the original extra wide gap worm hook. They were used for a long time by the bass world to make weedless hooks. And they caught on with the flounder fishermen because they had a really distinct profile and could really jam the fish really well. So, and you're going to want that eye to be offset. The reason for that is because you're going to snell that hook. You want that hook to pull straight. You don't want it to bend. You want to pull straight when you set that hook. This way you get them in the corner of the mouth or, you know, just in the mouth, anywhere. So, apparently, someone threw out the first pitch at a Double Rays game. Cool. Congrats, Chuck. I was on TV 6 times with a beer in my hand. I got to quit looking at the chat room. So, you got your whole setup. Kale hook, leader, swivel, bead, egg sinker, 30-pound fluorocarbon, medium-heavy, fast-action rod, and a reel. Ta-da! You're set to flounder fish. Baits of choice. And this is just for, this is a basic startup. You know, you can get crazier, you can get simpler, but this is how I tell 90% of the people that are just starting off how to catch flounder. It's just to catch flounder, to get the feel for them. Get the feel for that bite, the hook set, and the fight. And that is go ahead and buy yourself two dozen gudgeons, otherwise known as killies, mud minnows, live minnows, live saltwater minnows, okay? And it's really easy. Just take that sucker right through the bottom lip, out through the top lip, get to a spot, channel edges, humps, grass lines, edges of jetties will all hold flounder. Docks. And all you need to do is drop it down, let it hit the bottom, let it sit there for a second. Just keep on drifting. And every so often, just lift the rod tip up about 6 inches. That's all you need. And eventually, you'll feel a tap, or you'll feel when you're able to lift that rod up, a lot of weight. Either one or two things have happened. Either A, you've caught grass, or B, you've got a flounder. And all you're going to do is just lift that rod tip up because it's getting heavier, about 10 inches off from where it was, parallel to the water, and wait for it. Same with the flounder. Also, you feel that rod tip go, because that flounder is being lifted off the bottom. Okay? And what he's doing is he's coming off the bottom, and he realizes that he's trying to get back down. He has just set the hook about, I'm going to say, 40% of the way in. Once you hear that dunk-dunk, or just a dunk, split them open. And I'm talking a solid hook set. You know, make sure you have, you know, if it's a right-handed reel, left hand on the rod, right hand on the reel handle, jack them, and then just start reeling. You've got your flounder. It's as simple as that. I catch a lot of flounder like that. I get a lot of people catching flounder like that. It is a really effective technique. Now, if I have someone, and this is for anyone who does a lot of short striking. I'm meaning that you feel that dunk and you set the hook and you miss them. You keep missing them. You can't figure out how to get them. It's the simplest way to start catching flounder. Okay? And this is the only way to do this is if you don't have a lot of grass, a lot of weeds in the water. Is you remove that kale hook. Take a number one treble hook of your choice. Tie it on there with the Palomar knot. Take your dudgeon or minnow or whatever you're using, okay, and hook them through the back. Set them down. The reason for that is flounder aren't nibblers. They're inhalers. They inhale and grab. And it's pretty wild. If you ever get to see a video of flounder eating, that fish swims by, he comes up off the bottom, and he sucks it in. And a fish, when it gets sucked in, usually like that, doesn't go in straight. He goes in sideways in that mouth, okay? So you put that treble hook on there. You feel that suck in, meaning that he's got the minnow, the bait, whatever, through the middle. It's a treble hook. He's going to have it in his maw. Jack him and get him in. I love that technique when I get a lot of short strikes or I just can't keep hitting them. Really works well, and I keep a bunch of, number ones, number twos, depending on the size of the bait. If I'm using larger baits, i.e., spot or croaker, which are excellent, excellent baits for spot and croaker, or for a flounder, we're talking maybe 3-4 inch, little itty bitty guys, small bunker if you can keep them alive. Mullet, excellent bait, which you deal with a lot of other fish eating them too, and you're going to catch larger flounder. So I'm boosting my hook up to a 4-aught kale hook, and I'm hooking them not through the lip, but through the nose. So we have spot and croaker, my main ones I use, have a tougher nose and a larger profile, so you can actually get that hook in there. And when you send them down, you have to worry about it. Now, remember, it's a larger bait. What I do if I'm sending a big, larger bait like that, 3-4 inch, live bait, I stick in the rod holder behind me and I put out another line, and I forget about it. Because 9 times out of 10, if you're putting down a 4-inch spot, you're pulling out a 17, 18, 20, 22-inch flounder. And that is usually by course, if you can find them. I know some people will catch smaller ones, but I've only caught one non-legal one. That was when we were up to like 18 and a half. It was an 18-inch flounder on a 4-inch spot. But simple, easy. Don't overthink flounder fishing. If you can find those humps, those areas where the flounder doesn't get caught in a lot of current, you will be golden. You will catch a lot of them. And remember, in Virginia, you can keep 4 flounder this year at 16 and a half inches or larger. So that's some very nice fillets there. So go ahead, buy some kale hooks, buy some smaller trebles. Don't worry about adding a stinger because you only get yourself hooked. That's a whole different aspect to fishing for these things. And have fun with it. Flounder fishing is a great great starter for children because they're interactive. One of my favorites for my kids, when I take them flounder fishing, sucks at being VA. but take your when you take kid fishing, tie on a bucktail, a 1/2 ounce bucktail, tip it with a gulp, bucktail colors, whatever you want to use. Some guys swear by white, some guys swear by chartreuse and purple. Personally, for me, I use the old standby of a white bucktail with a trailer of some sort, let it be gulp, a squid strip, a plastic trailer, anything like that. And basically tell the kid, drop it down to the bottom for him, and just tell him to keep raising and lowering the rod. Just keep doing it. So all it's doing is bouncing off the bottom and coming up. It'll drive flounder insane. And kids do it right. Because when they miss a strike, they don't stop. And that's key. Is that when you use a bucktail, a jig, anything like that, don't stop when you feel the strike and you miss them. Keep going. Like the fish is trying to get away. Because think about it, folks. If someone comes up to you and beats you up, or hits you, you're not going to sit there and go and just lay there. No, you're going to try to get away from the guy. So, if you're a fish as well. They're smack talking in the chat room, folks. But yeah, just keep jigging it. Eventually, that flounder will come back. They are aggressive. Anyone who's fished flounder long enough has seen a flounder come up to their boat, kayak, shoreline, whatever, chasing after the bait. I've seen flounder come out of the water chasing bait. When they want to get a hair up their rear, they become really aggressive and they will really hammer into them. Another great setup is just a regular jig head, and you're casting it towards docks and pylons and bridges, whatever. Works really well. Nothing's too difficult there. Cast it out, drag it along the bottom. I mean, folks, flounder fishing isn't a difficult aspect of the life. That's why it's great for kids, elderly. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. Anyone can flounder fish. And it's a great resource. Please remember, if you fillet a flounder right, depending on how you do it, either you get two really large fillets or four really nice fillets, which could feed a lot of people. My family feeds on one flounder, so if you really need to keep four in Virginia, go right ahead. But remember, that's four or less flounder out there for you. I know I'm going to keep a few this weekend, hopefully. Boondoggle, hit the button. Just for you, Chris.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
So with that, we'll get to talking about the boondoggle. Folks, if you don't know, now you know. The boondoggle's October 5th through the 8th up here in Virginia Beach. Hosted out of First Landing State Park. It's going to be a great time of year. If it's 163 days in a wake-up, Mr. Chip Gibson is on the ball. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a lot of our species feeding up, getting fat and happy, super aggressive for the wintertime and their migrations. And all the northern fish, i.e. stripers, are going to be moving in. So it's going to be a great time to be in the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay. Remember, go check out First Landing State Park for campsites. I know they're filling up quick, so get on it. Let's see, what else is going on? June 9th is the Atlantic River Company's demo day. So, if you're in a 300-mile radius of Farmville, Virginia, and you have nothing to do on June 9th, come on out. The Lodgers will be there. I will be there showing off and demoing all of the newest and greatest kayaks in the industry with the best paddle shop in America, in my opinion. So definitely check that out. It's It's going to be a short show tonight, folks. I just picked my wife up from her being out to sea for the past month. So I need to go spend some time with her. With that, I'd like to thank everyone for showing up. We had a nice showing in the chat room today. Thanks, Chip. Also, Chuck Condor, welcome. I think you're first time here. Welcome again. City of Ash, Mr. LGB, our two guests, Mr. Hatchetjack, buddy, I'll call you later this week. Mr. Lozier, excellent job last night at the seminar. Wish I could have made it. His beautiful wife, Chris, Redfish Chuck, and Mr. Steve Chapman. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. Please check out JacksonKayaks.com, Columbia Sportswear, Akuma, Slayer Inc., coming out with their SST line of baits, and they are awesome, sauce approved, so check that out. If I missed about you, I'm sorry. I got the wife giving me the stink eye, so it's time for me to get off. I'd like to thank everyone again. Remember, catch Chip's show tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. It should be an excellent show, and as always, and always check out 7:40 a.m. The Game with Steve Chapman, Boudreaux, and Captain Mike Ortego. Always a great show. Starts at 6 on 7:40 The Game. Streams live, so no matter where you are in the country or in the world, you can listen to them talk about Florida fishing. Again, that's Florida Fishing Radio at 7:40 The Game. All right, folks, have a great night. I will talk to you soon. Send me an email. Check out LandingCrewKayakFishing.com. It's my guide service. Like me, love me, do what you will, but have a great night. Hopefully, talk to you soon. Night, everybody.
Please hang up and try again.